I'd like to welcome everybody that's out there on Facebook and YouTube to the Heart of Christ Church. And we are continuing this day in our second sermon in our series of 1 Peter chapter 1. And today we are going to be in verses 6 through 9, four verses. And I had to chuckle because I've had people tell me already, you know, I can't believe you can do a whole sermon on two or three verses. And when I started into this, I literally realized verse 6 is so full that I could do an entire sermon just on verse 6. And so I was like, well, I'm not doing that. I want to do this in five chunks, so I've got to put it together in such a manner that I, as I tell Brother David, or Pastor David, I've told him many times, don't feed him a Thanksgiving dinner, give him a ham sandwich, okay? My great aunt used to tell me, they don't need to know everything you know in one sermon. Spread it out. She said, if you keep them a little hungry, they'll come back for more. And I'm like, I like that idea. I like the more. So today, we're going to read verses 6 through 9 in the context, please remember the context, that we have a living hope. And in, from verse 6, we read these words. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as an outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. Blessed be the word of the Lord. Amen. Well, when we start tearing this down and we start getting into this first verse that we're going to look at, chapter 1, verse 6, we only read five words before we have to take our first break. It says to us, in this, speaking of this living hope that we have, in this you greatly rejoice. In this living hope you greatly rejoice. What does it mean to greatly rejoice? That means to have joy. Okay? How many of you like having a joyful life? Okay? We all love a joyful life. Nobody likes to be an Eeyore, right? Y'all remember Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh. Now, for some of you younger folks, you may not know Winnie the Pooh. You know, he's a little bear that eats honey and lives in a hole in the ground, okay? What's that? No, I said Winnie the Pooh. Yeah, Eeyore was the donkey that Winnie the Pooh had as a buddy. And Eeyore was constantly in dire straits. He was always depressed. They used to show him with a gray cloud above his head as if it was going to rain at any moment. And his tail kept falling off. Am I right? His tail kept falling off. Oh, well. And Eeyore, I love the name. Eeyore was one that had very little joy. But we in Christ Jesus can have the joy of life and life abundantly because of the living hope that we have. And as we look at that greatly rejoicing, I want to talk about that a little bit later and because it says it again. And it speaks of this greatly rejoicing. How many of you rejoice in the bad things that happen in your life? Or how many of us, when bad things are happen, act like Eeyore? Okay? And right now, I got a lot of people out there who are like, who's Eeyore? Google it. Okay? If you're online, you know how to use the computer. Google it. You will get the idea. Because in greatly rejoicing, even in the sorrowful things of life, we can find joy. Remember the old adage, to every cloud there is a silver lining, okay? How many of you are anticipating the rain over the next today and tomorrow and possibly into Tuesday, okay? Yeah, you know, we need the rain. We need the rain. But it's going to squash my hunting, you know, come Monday morning. I'm hoping the rain's about done till Monday afternoon, according to the weathercast. That's what it's supposed to do. But irregardless of that, the reality is I'm going to be able to invest some quality time in the mountains with my Lord and Savior, with friends. Huh? Is that a bad thing? No, not at all. So it's looking at your circumstance, whether you look at life as a glass half empty or a glass half full. It's all about perspective, isn't it? You know, I tell people a lot of Christianity is attitude and gratitude. You know, we look at what we have not. We look at what is going wrong. But how many of us, in the spite of looking at what we have not and what is going wrong, take the moment to look at what we do have and what is going right? Aren't you glad this isn't broken? Aren't you glad that's not falling apart? Okay? Yeah, but my hip hurts and we can find all the negatives, but let us greatly rejoice because we know, hey, how many of you realize in the midst of your pain and your angst, and you know, first thing I said to our folks in new members class today was, man, I can tell it's gonna rain. My bones are stiff. And the comment flew back at me, well, is that a sign of getting older? I said, no, that's a sign of all the abuse I put my body through over these years is what that is. And it's just amazing because what that is, hey, that's God's weather forecast in me. I know it's going to rain. I don't need the weatherman to tell me that. If I wake up in the morning and I feel achy, oh, man, pull the sheets back up, right? And greatly rejoice because we have yet the day to live and love. But then he goes on and he says to us, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. Now, I wrote down here a little while, okay? Because it says for a little while. I want us to remember, I don't care what's going on in your life. I don't care how bad things seem. I do care about those things. But there's something more important, okay? That's what I'm getting at. Because a lot of people hear me say, I don't care, and they think, man, he's cold. He's cold-hearted. No, no, no. It's not that I don't care. I do care about those things, but I don't want you to focus on them because what I want us to focus on is this. How many of you can grab a hold of the tail of a minute and make it last two? Time is temporary, people. Time passes and things move forward. Are we going to allow the time to pass anticipating the future? Because that is also part of greatly rejoicing. Because we know that where you are right now, what's happening to you right now is not going to last. There's going to be a future. And it's that living hope that we're speaking of here. Because if time were permanent, if we were stuck where we are right now forever, how many of you would be happy? I had one raise a hand and one flip-flopping. Oh, I had a second one raise a hand. Yeah, I'd be happy because I'm in church, okay? Right now, this moment, I'm in church and I'm talking. Now, I want you to think about that. Those of you who raised your hand, oh my gosh, to be stuck in this moment forever with him up there blabbing all my, yeah, all of a sudden all the hands go down. Okay? Here's the reality. Time is fleeting. It passes. But God does not, and his promises never fade. We need to remember that what we are going through is temporary, okay? It is for a little while. Now, I'm going to ask you, when you're going through something, does it seem like a little while? It certainly does not. But in the scope of eternity, the living hope that we have that points to a future that never ends, this moment in time is going to be but a twinkling of an eye. Okay? That's what I need you to remember. Please get beyond this temporal world. We are not temporal beings in Christ Jesus. We are eternal beings. Get your mind out of this flesh and get your mind into your heart, which is eternal in Christ Jesus. Amen? Because there we can rejoice. There we can find that living hope. And nothing that you're stuck in is going to hold you prisoner. Because that's what the evil one wants. He wants you to be stuck in time and in your own mind. Now, the next phrase I want you to look at, and many of us, you know, I hate this. When the Bible says this stuff, it's like, I'd like to cross some of these things out. Have anybody else done that in your life? You know, it's like, you know, I don't like that. I want to just make that go away. I think it's funny because here's the reality. It says, if necessary. How many of you like that word? If necessary. Well, Lord, I just don't think this is necessary. Okay? If necessary. Lord, let's just stretch that out, okay? It's not necessary. You don't have to do this. And who knows better, him or us? If necessary. Yeah. Because what he's telling us here is, all of us need discipline. All of us need to be corrected. All of us need to be trained up. You know, how many of us sent our children to school? We all did, right? Because we want our children to be trained up. We want them to be intelligent. We want them to go on to become better than ourselves, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it's necessary. How many of you young people out there think this stuff was all necessary? What did I have to learn new math for? Okay, why do I need to understand history? Why do I have to take English? I speak English. I think it's funny because these things are necessary to teach us. You see, God told Israel something a long time ago. It said, teach these things to the generations. Teach these things to the generations. Why? So that they remember. Because what happens if you don't remember? You're going to repeat history. And guess what happens in every one of our histories? We repeat all the stupid stuff our parents did, and some even better. You know, I think about that. You know, I used to live in a little town called Glen Rock years and years ago, and we had a town barber. Everybody knows the town barber, right? Everybody knows the town. If you came out of a little town, you know exactly what I'm talking about, because there was nothing that didn't go through the town barber. Every situation in town was known at the town barber. And Don, God bless him, he has passed on. He's a brother in Christ. I'll meet him again someday. He may be up here cutting Jesus' hair for all I know. Don told us some stories from when he was a kid. And I'm telling you right now, he needed discipline. I mean, how many of you would whitewash a gentleman's cows? You know, I don't know if you know anything about whitewash, but it's lime, okay? What happens when you put lime on hair? Burns it. The guy had bald cattle for months until their hair grew out. Yeah, it wasn't cool. They rebuilt a wagon, tore it completely apart, and put it all back together on the peak of a barn roof. Was discipline necessary for him? Yes. In his mind, no. They were just having fun. How many of us do these kind of things? I see I get to pick on other people and talk about weird stuff. But how many of us do things in life that call for God to do something necessary that we don't necessarily like? Okay, so is it necessary? Yes, because we live in a sin-filled body. We live in a body of flesh, and we need grace. We are sinners saved by grace through faith. Now, does that mean once we become saved, we're perfect and we never sin again? No, doesn't happen. So is it necessary? Man, I hate to say this. Yes. You know, my parents used to say to me, and I'm sure every one of you said it. I'm looking at some of you, you know, my peers out there. I'm sure you all said this to your children. This is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. Then why am I the one getting the belt? My parents never used a belt. Well, my dad did. But my mom always used a paddle. It was the board of correction. Said that right across it. The board of correction. And I learned well that it was necessary. And it made me a good person. You see, I realized something a long time ago. Children come with a reset button. It's on their derriere. And you just have to hit that thing a couple of times every now and again. Some of you are thinking, no, no. Well, spare the rod, spoil the child. I didn't say beat them. I'm talking discipline. There's a fine line, and we have to walk it. God does. He shows us. Necessary. More so is abuse. Does that make sense? God never abuses his children. Is it necessary that we go through these things? Yes. For what? For training in righteousness. For training in life itself. So it is necessary. And I'm going to show you why here in just a little bit. But then the last part of this is what I said. I could have just on this very thing for so long for various reasons. But it says that we are distressed in verse 6, that we are distressed by various trials. If necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. What does it mean by various trials? Well, the first thing I want you to think about is sicknesses. We all think of that. That's a trial, isn't it? How about hardships? You know, we look at those as being temporary and various trials. How about misfortune? Okay? You know, I think of Brian Potts right now in the hospital with COVID. You know, this is a trial for Brian. But how many of us think about temptations, okay, as being some of those various trials? Because it's not necessarily that it has affected you, but that it's before you presenting an opportunity. And you get to choose, and it's whether which way you choose, whether the reaction is going to be necessary. Do you get that? Okay. So please understand, you know, there are so many things in life that you and I go through, temptation, sickness, misfortune, harsh comings, but yet all of these things can bring us back to a place where we greatly rejoice. How is that? Oh my gosh, how can we rejoice with all this stuff I just spoke of? Because we know that these things do not contain or hold us, but that they're here to teach us and prepare us for a better life. Okay? Remember, Jesus was tempted in every way that we are, yet was without sin, and became the perfect sacrifice for each and every one of us. Aren't you glad? That is reason to rejoice in your sufferings. That you know no matter what happens, Jesus paid the price, you don't have to pay it. So folks, when you fall down because something happened, Ruth Ann, we never get grumpy, do we? No. Missy, we never worry, do we? Carl, we never get upset behind the wheel, do we? We all fall short. But God has measured up. And in that, we can greatly rejoice. Because no matter what you and I do, Jesus is still there. He's never rejecting us. You know, I want you to think about that. with his arms spread out, nails in his wrists, nails in his feet, crown of thorns on his head, and beaten to the point of death, he spoke from the cross of Calvary. And remember, God spoke these words. Man, I got goosebumps. Forgive them. They know not what they do. Do you think the Father didn't hear those words and act in accordance? Because the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one. So do you think the Father forgave, or did he look down and say, nope, can't do that? Because they are one, the Son, asking for it, received it from the other two, because they can only be in unison and in unity. So from that, we greatly rejoice. I don't care what's happening to you right now. Look beyond it. Jesus looked beyond the cross for the glory that was yet to come. How many of us think about that stuff in our lives? You are not stuck where you are. You are literally, in God's eyes, already in eternity. If we can have that mindset, our attitude can be wholly different. H-O-L-Y and W-H-O-L-Y. And in that we greatly rejoice. So why is it necessary then? Well, that's verse 7. Let's look at verse 7. It says, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Wow. God brings us to this place of this necessary for a little while distresses and the things coming to us so that our faith can be proved as much more than refined gold. I want you to think about that in your own life. You know, what God's really trying to do is get your attitudes right. Get my attitudes right. Okay? And it's funny because are we listening to him? Are we hearing him? Are we coming into alignment with him? And in that, rejoicing. How many of us go out singing, oh, glorious day, you know, this bad thing's happening to me? We don't. How many of us should? Because God's working on me. You know, if God didn't care about you, he'd let you in the muck. He'd let you in the mire. He'd let you in your stuff. Aren't you glad he doesn't let you there? That is something that we need to remember. Because the people who are not in Christ Jesus, those people out there who are clamoring for everything the world has to offer and think they find their hope and help in it, they're stuck in it, people. They can't even see the delusion that they are in. They can't fathom the depths of their depravity, okay? We see it and say, how can they do this stuff? But it's because we have the hope of Jesus Christ that we can see that those things are wrong. And that is because of faith. That is rejoicing in God. When we look out and say, you know, but now let's not bring judgment upon them. Let us bring the word of God to them that they may hear and know the graces that we have understood. That's praising God. That is walking in the glory. That our faith, even in the midst of our trials, is bringing glory to God. How many of you, when you're sick or something's not going well, will literally encourage other people? You know, I can look out here and I know several of you that have told me, oh yeah, boy, you know, this was going on and I just was praising God, and people were like, how can you do that? You know, how can you praise God? And it's like, well, because I know he's there for me. I mean, I know Missy's had that conversation. We've talked about that kind of stuff. In the midst of trials, we glory in God because we know he's able to handle it. That's our faith being proven out. You know, I think it's funny, you know, how many people out there, how many of you right now think your faith is a private thing? I literally had a Christian come up to me one day and he said to me, he says, you know, Pastor, you're constantly telling us that we're supposed to take the word and we're supposed to go out and we're supposed to evangelize. He said, but I believe that my faith is private and I get to keep it to myself. I said, that's awesome. You do that, because when you get to heaven, Jesus is going to keep it there too. He said, what? I said, it says in the Bible, any man who is ashamed of me before men, so shall I be ashamed of them before my Father. And if your faith is that private that you keep it right here and it doesn't go anywhere else, guess where Jesus is going to keep it? Right there. And it'll stay with you. I said, and you'll never be with him. Folks, we got to realize some of this stuff. When we see a person in distress, we need to move out, even when we ourselves are in distress. You know, do you think Pastor really wants to get up here every Sunday and bring a good, happy message? Believe me, there are some Sundays I would just like to say, because it happens. I'm human too, all right? There are Sundays I've been up here, I've had a temperature of 101. Those are the Sundays I generally disappear right after church because I try not to be around anybody. There are Sundays where I would just like to pull the sheets up over my head because Pastor's really not in a very good mood. Things have not been good. None of you have ever been there, right? The good thing is you all do get to pull the sheets up over your head, okay? There's a story about a mother. She was talking to her son. She said, you got to get up. It's time for church. He said, I don't want to go to church. I don't want to talk to those people. I don't want to be around them. All they do is work on my nerves. She says, now you got to get up. She said, you know, it's 15 minutes. You got to get up. You got to get yourself to church. She said, we need to be in church. We need to worship God. We need to, and she's going on, and she's arguing with this guy for a little while. And finally, she looks at him and says, son, you're the preacher. Let's go. We need to remember these things come to test our faith. And you either believe what you believe or you don't. And your actions, how you respond, is going to be a glory to God or an embarrassment to God. And I would rather it be a glory to God. Because there are days, people, I'm telling you, that you know, we are going to be stretched to our limits. Never been stretched, right, Barb? We've been around long enough to know. How about it, Barb? We all get stretched. But guess what God does when we get stretched? He reaches in and gives us even more. More strength, more compassion, more peace, more grace, more joy. God is a God of abundance, not of depletion. When you've come to the end of you, you will find the beginning of God. And there we can walk in that faith, knowing that He will meet us no matter where we are. No matter what situation you find yourself in. And if you can't greatly rejoice in God on that, you will never rejoice at all. And you and I need to understand He is there. He is 100% vested in us. How many of us are 100% vested in Him? Man, that's the difference. And it all starts with an attitude of gratitude for the living hope that is in us and that drives us. Because as we do, our faith comes forward. What is faith? Chapter 1, verse 8. Oh, my goodness. It says, and though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. That is faith. Hebrews chapter 11. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. I missed my last scripture. I went right past it, blew right by it. But this one I'm going to grab. I want to go to Hebrews chapter 11. It's funny because it is so simple. What is faith? What is faith? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. God wants us to know what faith is. From verse 1, chapter 11 tells us these words. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. Okay, so can you pick faith up and put it in your pocket? Absolutely not. Faith is what you believe and know and hold as truth and cannot be doubted in your life and in your being. I think each and every one of us need to understand this. Verse 8 is faith. We have not seen him, yet we believe in him and we love him. And we greatly rejoice with an inexpressible joy. That is faith. That is the full definition of faith right there. And when we know that we know that we know, you know, God wrote this all down so that we could guess at it, right? No, he says in his word, it literally says, I tell you these things that you may know. Yeah, but where are the facts? Where's the proof? Oh, brothers and sisters, he's put the proof in the entire universe. Everything in creation points to the fact of a creator. And I think it's funny because the smarter we get, the more we see there is a designer to all this stuff. Had to be. Couldn't just happen. There is no amount of time. Notice how I'm doing this, okay? There's no amount of time that can make the things that are possible today possible. There is no amount of time. Because everything has to have happened at one time in order for it all to work. And yet our minds want us to think that evolution is possible. Because if evolution's possible, then we don't need God. You see, that's what it's all about. But you and I know, we know, because we have believed in the one who has created it all. And we see that without that creative power, nothing could be and nothing is. For everything that was created, whether visible or invisible, was created by him. And we're talking about the heavenly realms there. And for us, that brings it all into being. And then verse 9, oh, what a glorious way to end this sermon. It says, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. The title to this sermon today is Living Hope Produces Joy Unto Final Salvation. Now, why didn't I just write salvation? How many of you are saved right now? Okay, you know whether you're saved or not, right? What's the difference between salvation now and final salvation? How many of you are still going through trials and tribulations right now? How many of you are still in time right now? How many of you are under discipline right now? Okay, so we are not at final salvation. At final salvation, we will be complete, full, whole, and wholly changed, that we will never need another correction, another temptation, another trial, another discipline, but we will greatly rejoice forever. And this is something that I want you to see. Pete, I'm going back to the Revelation. I'm going to grab it here now. Revelation chapter 3, verse 10. Revelation chapter 3, verse 10. Because this to me is very important. And thank you, Holy Spirit, because I was like, why did I skip over that? Well, now I know why I skipped over that. Revelation 3 and verses 10 and 11. It says, because you have kept the word of my perseverance, I also will keep you from the hour of testing, that hour which is about to come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on earth. I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have so that no one will take your crown. You and I are working on a crown. We are working on our eternal estate right now. That when we finally see Christ, all these things that we are going through bring us to that final salvation where we will be whole, holy. There will be no more decay. There will be no more pains or ache. How many of you are going to love to wake up in the morning and not have to take 5 minutes to get out of bed? You know, you young people, you don't even understand what I'm talking about yet. You jump up and put your socks and shoes on in one leap. It takes me 5 minutes just to get up. I'll think about the shoes and socks after a cup of coffee or two. But it's so amazing because we are saved. So we're living in that eternal state now. We can have that attitude about ourselves now. here in this present day, in this moment. But a day is coming when that salvation will be full and complete. And in that final time, there is nothing that will ever harm us again. We will never be separated from God, and we will forever and always be with Him. That's the final salvation, waiting to be revealed. And you and I have that now because of the living hope. And I pray it changes your attitude. I know it's changed mine. I used to be a cold, self-centered son of a gun. And that lady there saw something she liked and married me. For 11 years, she struggled. And God got a hold of my heart. And I realized how much a treasure I had sitting there. And I think these last couple have been a little better. And I can't wait until the day we get to see our children in heaven. To be whole and not have bad knees and a bad hip. And be with the Lord together. But not as husband and wife. That's the only part that I think is going to stink. But hey, that's okay. And when we get there, we'll have a different mind. We'll understand better. But we'll still be together, won't we? For eternity. And I'll be there with each of you too. That has chosen Christ. And today, right out here, I want to talk to the folks online just for a moment. You have that opportunity to gain that thought, that reality, right now. And I pray you'll take that opportunity, because all it takes is asking the Lord, amen? Lord, come into my life. Lord, forgive me. I'm a sinner. Say that. Pray that prayer right now. I take your payment on the cross. Help me to live a new life, a life of living hope, a life of joy. Lord, I know I'm going to have troubles. I'm going to have trials. His word tells us, right? But Lord, give me the living hope of Jesus Christ, my Lord. And I will give you the sins of my life, that I may be whole and wholly thine. In Jesus' name. Amen. Final scripture today. Turn in your Bibles to Philippians 4, 4 through 7. Philippians 4, 4 through 7. Because I got to leave you with these words. From the fourth chapter of the book of Philippians, in the fourth verse, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. May I hear, amen. God bless you, and may His words abound in your heart and in your lives this day. I love you, but the Lord loves you more. In His holy name, amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.